Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey there, thank you so much for listening and checking out this episode of the podcast. I have a conversation with Ginger Stanton just ahead, and Ginger is a yoga teacher, a writer, and much more. She has authored two books, Yoga for Every Room in Your House, and the other one is called Mouse Napped, and it's actually meant to be a kid's book, potentially great for everyone, and she will talk about that along with the yoga book and much, much more. She teaches yoga classes in a couple places in Minneapolis, and I'll give you the contact information at the end to find out more about her, where to find her books, all that fun stuff. I want to call out just a couple things that I really think that Ginger brings to the table. One is that she's really very real. You know, she's been doing yoga, as you'll hear, for a really long time, and she still talks about kind of the challenge that it can be for all of us, even when we love to do something, love to move, love to do yoga, love to work out, or want the results of it. It's still hard sometimes to get motivated and keep ourselves doing that. So Ginger talks about teaching being a way to stay doing it and motivated and excited about it. And I think that's probably true for more teachers of exercise and movement and that kind of thing than we really think, that they found their way to keep the passion alive and keep themselves going. I love to know that Richard Simmons has said he doesn't like to exercise. So it's just good to realize that it's not just the thing that he's intrinsically, or that people who are doing this are intrinsically excited about, that there's more going on about that. They're working hard to keep their motivation as well. And we all get to benefit by going to the classes that they set times for. We put it in our schedule, and for some of us, that works really, really well. I really love the book and the concept behind Yoga for Every Room in Your House. She talks about the inspiration for the book, which I think is really fantastic. And the book really can serve anybody. You know, if you are a teacher of yoga, this is a great book to, I think, have awareness of, or just reminders of things that people can do on a daily basis that you can maybe remind people of when you're teaching. The book is definitely useful for folks who are not so excited about getting sweaty, but want to keep their body loose and working and functional. Maybe you've got a small space and you don't love to move furniture, or you don't necessarily always want to change your clothes or go somewhere. And maybe you do sometimes, but it's having those tools and those reminders of what can I do on a daily basis to keep myself loose and keep my body working functionally. That is what this book is great for. And Ginger does a really excellent job. I was at a class, a presentation that she did here in Duluth a few years ago, and it was just filled with really fantastic reminders for us for things that were really useful in helping our flexibility and keeping our body in a better way and in better positions while we are at work, and little things that we could do that don't have to interrupt our day, that don't have to take us away from a class or for a class, but can keep us just, how do you do things in your everyday moment when you have a few seconds? Those things add up, and there's a lot of tools in the book. So I encourage you to check it out. If you do happen to live in Duluth, and you know me, I actually have some copies. So you are welcome to contact me and I can show you them if you'd like. I just think it's a really great tool for somebody who is an exercise person, who isn't an exercise person, who isn't a yoga person. I'd encourage you to check it out. Even in her discussion, she's gonna share a couple yoga poses with you too, that I think if you listen to what she's saying and walk through it with her, you'll totally get it. Ginger was on the tail end of a cold when we did this, so I'm appreciative of her sticking with it and doing the interview. I also just wanted to mention, too, that in the beginning, you will hear the sound of a vacuum cleaner. And we did the best that we could in the place that we were at to work around that, and then also in editing. So just know that when you hear that in the background, it's not going to last very long. Without further ado, here's Ginger. Well, we're in Ginger's yoga studio. Or at least one of your yoga studios.
That's right.
It's beautiful. There are huge windows looking out over Lake Hiawatha, and it's a delightful space. So thank you, Ginger.
Thank you.
This is going to be great. I'm excited to talk to you. So let's start with talking about who you are and what you do.
This is one of the hardest questions for me to answer, but I think the most essential way to answer it is, I'm a spark of consciousness with leanings in a variety of directions. I've come to be aware that existence is illusion. Some of that is out of my yoga practice. And I love learning about the nuances of the way the illusion that is everything plays out. It's just fascinating to me.
That is a very different answer than I get from most people, which is great because it's very you. I love it. Taking all of that together, what do you do?
I love it that you asked that, too. Besides writing, I teach a fusion of different styles of yoga that come together, and I occasionally borrow from other disciplines like dance and martial arts and Tai Chi, or I can't remember the name of the other one, but they'll take things from various places to build it in to make it more complete. I teach here in Minneapolis, both at the lake and at Nokomis Yoga. And I teach yoga for a number of reasons. One, because some of my most rewarding human interactions occur in yoga class. Also, I like that having the responsibility of showing up to teach yoga ensures that I do my yoga.
That's a great reason to be a teacher. Right?
And the continuing learning I have to do to keep my teaching fresh also helps keep my thinking fresh. And students' questions just help me all the more and inspire additional learning for me. As for writing, I have always written to give shape to my thoughts. And in the process, I learned to write so that when the time came to write Yoga for Every Room in Your House, I had the skills to approach the project with some confidence. So,
was that book something that you kind of saw for a very long time before it turned into what it did? Or was it the whole, okay, I have to write this book and I have the skills, let's go?
Well, it wasn't quite like that. I had a private student with only one leg who approached me, and I had to figure out how to teach yoga to her. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the standing poses and a lot of the poses she can't do with only one leg.
Right.
And so I started sitting on the edge of my bed at night thinking about it and trying things out. And as I was doing that, I realized that I was getting good out of this. It isn't like it was grade B yoga. Uh-huh. And I thought, I hate moving furniture to do yoga at home. And so I thought, well, I should, maybe other people would like to know about this too. And so that's where it came from.
Okay. I love that you took the intent and the question and went, okay, let's figure this out. And let's figure out well and how much that brought you, it sounds like, forward in your practice, which is so great and benefits you and everybody. And that's one thing I love about the book, is exactly what you're saying, is not having to move furniture. Like, what are the obstacles that keep us from doing things in our house on a daily, moment-to-moment
basis? That is so absolutely true.
Yeah.
However much I might want to do yoga, sometimes the things I had to do in order to get to the place where I could do yoga at home were just too insurmountable.
Right. Well, and I think of people, and I think of pictures of New York apartments.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you do this? Or if you just live in a really small space.
Uh-huh. It's not only people in New York.
Right, right, exactly. And people are trying to, by desire or necessity, simplify.
All those
right?
cute little not 100-foot homes that they're building.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and with our economy the way it is, people are having to go down. And it's great to always take a class. And that's a fine thing, but
it's nicer to have a daily practice than once a week practice. You still get the good.
Right.
You still get good, I should say, out of a weekly class, but it's not the same.
Right. Well, in my mind, it's you can go to the class, and that's where you sharpen up, right? You've got somebody there to remind you of all the things you need to do and how to breathe and how to stand and what you need to be conscientious of.
And then you go home and you keep doing it. And that's where your body changes. You know, obviously, I mean, I've seen people who take once or twice a week yoga classes and they have huge benefits. So it's definitely there. But it is like if you're taking physical therapy, you don't just go to physical therapy, do the work only when you're there. It's no, we need to do this 3-4 times a day to keep our muscles, our structure, getting the benefit. So you've kind of answered this a little bit, but I'll ask it anyway. What drives and inspires you to do the work you do?
I want to experience beauty every day, and I want to share the beauty. And so I also take a lot of photographs, you know, just because otherwise I would just have to sit there and stare for an hour or three. But it extends to every aspect of my life, what I see and what I hear, how I think and how I move through the world. And I also love that other people can see beauty where I don't. And that is very helpful to me, to have a bigger perspective. It brings me a greater appreciation of the harmony that is possible in the world. Mm-hmm. So I hope that what I do, you know, participates in the beauty.
And you bring that attitude to your students. And from things that you've said and things that I've read, it is that mutual, you're giving, they're giving to you too.
Yep.
So you're getting...
It's a partnership.
Yeah.
First time I heard a teacher when I was growing up say, I learn as much from you as you do from me. It, you know, it was kind of a blow to the center of my forehead. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a little kid. You just don't see how that's possible.
Right.
And now I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is true. I certainly remember hearing that and trying to understand it, kind of feeling like they were just, you know, blowing smoke a little bit. Kind of like you're just trying to make me want to be here.
Yeah.
But you're right, as you get older. And I had some people who we kind of explained that a little bit, which I think is helpful, especially when you hear that as a kid. Because you're not taught as a kid that you have anything to offer in many ways. Not that that's so always true with every, but it kind of, in some ways of being parented and growing up, those are the messages you get. You're the kid. I will tell you what to do. And when you are a kid who gets that, to have this like, wait, what a minute? What is this you're talking about?
I kind of resent the assumption that all grown-ups know more than all kids.
Mm. So you've been doing yoga for how long?
Well, technically I started when I was in college with a philosophy of yoga class.
Okay.
During which one of my co-students actually was doing physical yoga when we were talking about the 8 limbs of yoga. And one of them was asanas.
Mm-hmm.
And so he demonstrated a couple things. And I thought, I'm going to have to go take yoga when I get out of college. And so the first time I had a chance to take a yoga class, I did. And mostly, I've been doing it ever since. There were a few years when I didn't, and I could really tell. But from the very first, I felt like my body was being put back together.
Wow.
And that's pretty much it.
So you've been doing it for quite a while. So yeah. How has it changed your body over time, and maybe even beyond that as well?
When I was not doing it, I felt like I was getting old. And then when I started doing it again, you know, that backed off. And over time, it's receded farther and farther, first off. And, you know, vigor returned and interest in life. You know, I've always been interested in philosophy, but life itself, not always so much. So.
Interesting. So, I mean, we kind of know this with exercise, but it's just interesting that the body, improving the body and feeling like that affected your mind so much.
Well, yoga means to yoke together.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is the mind-body connection that is one of the primary things that people talk about. When they say yoga, they mean the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the mind-spirit connection, and even the physical-to-spirit connection, and even learning how to listen to your body and know when it needs something and when it doesn't. One of the major benefits of yoga, because you learn to have that dialogue. You know, and some people have trouble being able to tell what their one part of their body is doing in relation to another. And so that's the word is proprioception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the awareness of your own body in relation to other parts of your body,
mm-hmm.
which is where people like athletes really get off. But you can get it without being actually yoga. People who do yoga 3 hours a day could be considered to be athletes.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it's the same kind of discipline and
right.
And now I have to say, there have been studies done where they compared people who are all doing what they're doing at the same level, like yogis who do 3 or more hours a day versus runners versus, you know, whatever. And yogis tend to be as fit as those others, plus they're more flexible. Unless what the other people are developing is flexibility,
right.
In the which case there is a level of fitness there that the others don't quite have, because there can be a vulnerability if all you're going for is the flexibility.
Hmm. Okay.
But.
Interesting. Wow. So, yeah, 3 hours a day. That's a beautiful luxury.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I do see people, even if they're only doing once a week, I do see physical turnarounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one woman who is sort of used to lurch across the room when she was going to do something, and she was kind of hunched over. She is a tall person, and I suspect the hunching might have been in part because she was taller than most women.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple years in yoga class, she was standing up tall, and she was walking rather than lurching. And so, you know, you never know what's going to be the byproduct.
Right.
You know, but it's a practice. It's not a goal or an accomplishment.
And I think that's such a really good point. The yoga practice, you know, you're always continuing on, you're learning, your body is doing things differently. And because there is so much intention behind it, I mean, I think yoga is one of those things that's so great for anybody to do and experience because of exactly what you're saying. You're getting in touch with your body in a way that doesn't make sense to people sometimes until they do it and have that kind of experience and they maybe get into it. And I'm guessing you've seen this where people, when you're talking about really experiencing and listening to your body, somebody new to it, it takes them some time to get there. And then when they get there, just those little things, you start to experience life a little differently.
And people who are used to doing other kinds of, like people who run, people who play basketball,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who do all that kind of thing, I'm fit. But they're also tightening their, you know, the muscles that they're strengthening, they are also tightening and kind of, like a lot of people like that can't do forward bends.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so it adds a dimension to those other
right.
kinds of exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
That one man in my Thursday class, you know, when he first started, his forward bends were, that's nice. He has noticed that he's getting more and more flexible, and I'm pretty sure he only does yoga in class.
Yeah, wow. But great.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's, I think, that's one of the takeaways, too, is if you can do it even that once or twice a week, it has a great benefit.
Yep, it does.
So you did kind of talk about what inspired Yoga for Every Room in Your Home, that this mm-hmm. student. And who would benefit from that book?
Well, the short answer is that anybody with restricted space to do yoga, first of all. And somebody who doesn't want to get down on the floor to do yoga, you know. And I think even if you are an advanced yogi, there are things that can benefit you if you haven't been thinking about that in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I'm hoping that people who have physical limitations might, who think that they can't do yoga, might have a little, maybe I could do some of this. Because there is that Courage Center where they do have somebody teaching yoga there. But not everybody has access to that.
Oh, right.
And so I really feel like people with mobility issues or with, like, my student with one leg, you know, these people can still get good benefit out of yoga, but they don't think they can.
Right.
But I didn't write it, you know, thinking, this is for people who have issues.
Right.
I wrote it because, you know, just because you don't have issues doesn't mean that you don't have other issues.
Right, right. And yeah, and it's funny because I talk to people about wellness movement a lot. And sometimes when you talk to people about exercising, that is exactly the answer. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to get on the floor. And it's like, okay, here, check this out, you know? And it is, I think it's just a great reminder of, for somebody who's been teaching yoga for many years, to be able to kind of look and remind what can you take when you're teaching to say, hey, you can do this at work in your chair. You can do this when you go to the restroom. You can do this, you know, to keep us mindful about moving because we feel so much better when we can do those. And it doesn't have to take a long time.
Yeah.
It can just be a little bit. And I think that's what your book really brings out too. It just makes things so possible. I would keep it on my kitchen table because it was just the reminder when I was making tea in the morning to do that, you know, to do something, right?
And there you have it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, or when you're waiting for the water to boil or just those little things. Mm-hmm. And there's all these moments where we can do these great things for ourselves. And it doesn't have to be hard. And you don't have to get sweaty. And you don't have to change your clothes.
You betcha, Red Rider.
Talk about a fun yoga fact or fun yoga thing to do.
Well, one of the funnest things is when I introduce the lion's pose or the goddess pose to students, especially students who haven't taken from me before. Because, for one thing, it's an immune builder, so it's got real yoga benefit. But it also kind of breaks through the barrier of serious. Because when you're got your thumbs on your shoulders and you're sticking your tongue out and your eyes are bugging out and you're looking at your forehead and your tongue's sticking way out, there is just no getting around having to laugh. And the first time I show somebody that, they kind of go with their jaw drops in there. But then I say, this is real yoga, so you have to do it.
Well, and if everybody's doing it in class, nobody's paying attention to each other because you're looking up. So describe the goddess pose. You kind of did, but describe it.
Okay. So for the goddess pose, you spread your legs not as far away apart as you can, but a decent distance apart. And you bend your knees, so you're kind of sitting down a little bit. And then you inhale, and you bring your thumbs to the points of your shoulders with your fingers spread. You take a really deep, full breath. And then, as with the lion pose, you exhale forcefully, like you're trying to punch somebody in the nose with your breath. You exhale forcefully. And at the same time, you stick your tongue out as far as it'll go. You open your eyes as wide as they will go. And you try to look at the center of your forehead. And after you stop laughing about the instructions, you try it. And you get sometimes a kind of funny sound at the back of your throat, which is a key indication that you're doing it right. Mm. But even if you don't hear that, the laughter part also is immune builder. So,
yeah.
And to do it as a lion, you squat, you, I'll have to show you, and then you can, like this.
Oh, okay, so you're just sitting on your heels?
Yeah, you're sitting on your heels with your hands on your... You could do this sitting in a chair, too.
Okay.
Your hands on your thighs.
Okay.
And then you take the same deep breath and you exhale firmly. And then at the same time, you leap forward with your fingers extended like claws. and you stick your tongue out and you open your eyes and you look at the center of your forehead.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is also fairly funny.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard about the lion's pose. It was one of the first yoga classes I ever took in my life. I just always remember this because I remember him doing it in front of us. And I remember he says, every time I feel like I'm getting a cold, this is the first thing I do. it's like I've had a cold for however long. But whenever I start to feel like I'm getting one, I do go to this right away and get it out of my body.
Another really good one for that is a shoulder stand.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I heard that also reduces your appetite.
Pardon?
I heard it also reduces your appetite.
I haven't noticed that. Okay. But it does. When I was in corporate America, there was one time when I had a dead kind of deadline, you know, the dead deadline. And I had the worst cold of my life, really and truly. So I went in and I couldn't focus. So I went and did the shoulder stand for a little while. And I came back and I was able to work for a while.
Nice.
And then I had stopped being able to think. So I went and did the shoulder stand again. And that's how I got through the day, and that's how I got the project completed.
Nice. Those are the little tools that are so
little
great.
Tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you have to think of it when you need it.
Right. That's sometimes the trick, right?
Yeah.
Is having the tool in your toolbox.
Yeah.
If you don't know, if you forget the toolbox is there, that's when it gets tricky. So I want to talk about the other book that you've written too.
Okay.
Mouse Napped.
Okay.
That I have finished reading, and it's delightful. It's great. It really is. And it's a kid's book.
Yes.
So talk about that if you can. I know this is, I can see that this book would be hard to describe.
It's a little hard to describe, but I was inspired. I felt so bad for so many people I've met over my time exploring New Age philosophy. Because I've met so many people who had these unique abilities as children, like being able to see people who were past or, you know, knowing things ahead of time or seeing auras. And they were squashed by the adults around them saying, that's not possible. That didn't happen. Why are you telling lies?
Mm-hmm.
Which encouraged those children to shut down those abilities if they could.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, they learned to be very guarded and not open. And I thought, you know, why could this possibly happen? And I remembered my own childhood growing up in a deeply faithful Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have those particular problems, but there were things that they would tell me, and I would respond with, you know, like they said, dying is like going for a vacation with God in heaven. I thought, oh, so after 2 weeks we come back?
Oh.
And they were so shocked and appalled that I could say something like that.
Oh, wow.
You know, because that's, no, we go to live there forever. I said, that's not a vacation. Well, I didn't say that.
But as a kid, you're trying to process.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So I kind of could understand that. And so it was working in the back of my head, you know, because a lot of those people later had to relearn how to do those things that were native to them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, weren't able, you know, they didn't have somebody to teach them how to use their abilities. And so they were overwhelmed even once they opened the door again.
Mm-hmm.
with what they were getting. And so I thought, but I didn't really get anything until I woke up one morning with a vision of a little mouse with a golden aura just looking at me. I thought, I don't know what this is about. So I got up and I started writing, and it started out just a conversation between two mice. One of them was a little house mouse, and the other one was what's called a grasshopper mouse, which is the only predatory mouse. It's called a grasshopper mouse because it hunts grasshoppers largely, or any kind of insect, but it also will hunt other mice.
Wow.
A friend of mine had an experience where she saw this mouse chasing another mouse. One of them was brown, the other one was gray. And he caught the mouse and, you know, grabbed the throat like a lion would and killed it. And then he stopped and looked at her and said, "So?" You know, just such an attitude.
Wow.
And so that it evolved from there, just the conversation with the mouse. And the predatory mouse had his mother, who is a very nasty mouse. The entrance to her burrow was blocked by his human. And so that was where we were introduced to the little girl character, who is the one with the abilities. And the house mouse lives in the girl's aunt's house. And her aunt is a herbalist and stuff. And so it goes, you know, from there. The argument that inspired the girl to run away from her mother, who is trying really hard to be a good Christian. And everybody in the book has a spiritual experience.
Mm.
Everybody. And that was the part that I didn't think about it until the end, and I thought back, I think everybody had an spiritual experience. So
yeah, that's an interesting point.
But also there's kidnapping and rescue.
There are some exciting moments.
I hope so.
Yes. Gotta keep reading. What's gonna happen? I love it. Yeah, it is great. I really do. And so one thing I just want to say about the book is I think you wrote it very creatively. And I think you wrote it from really being able to see these different points of view, and you bring them alive in the book. And I think you bring them alive really well.
Thank you.
So who would be interested or in a sense, maybe, I don't know if benefit is the right word, but be interested in reading this? And because I think it could speak to so many people
in different ways. It's meant primarily for the little girls and little boys who have these abilities that are being denied. That's first and foremost. But I would like to think that anybody could read it and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I've had several adults tell me that they enjoyed, that it had a sophistication that they could appreciate, even though they weren't 10 or 12,
yes,
you know.
I think that's true.
And I would like to think that, because I love children's books, really well written. You know, some of my favorite books, even now, are children's books, some of which I didn't read until I was an adult, like Wind in the Willows and The Taran, the books that are based on the Mabinogion written by Lloyd Alexander.
Mm.
I don't know if you've read those,
no,
but I really love that series. And Diana Wynne Jones has written a number of really excellent children's books that I find really highly enjoyable as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that it can be read by adults just purely for pleasure. And if you get something out of it too, woohoo!
Well, and I think for many of us, we can recognize certain aspects of it, whether it's our own experience or it's somebody else's experience, but I think it speaks well to many people on many different levels, which I think is great. What do you have an idea of what age kids that would be kind of quote unquote appropriate for, which I almost hate to say because I think it's every kid is kind of different.
Well,
but
I have had people say that they read it to their 2-year-olds.
Oh, you know, wow.
You know,
okay.
Reading aloud.
Oh, so
brings
huge.
It, you know, down to a younger.
Yes.
You know, for reading for themselves, mostly you would start about 8. But some people learn to read much younger than that.
Right.
I don't think there's any age group it's inappropriate for.
I love the reading it to kids.
You love the what?
I love the reading it to kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
To little kids, I think that's great.
When I heard the guy was reading it to his daughter, I thought, oh!
That's awesome. It's nice when a book is good enough that the adult enjoys it as well as the kid.
Yeah.
And you can bond and share and discuss over that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, teenagers probably feel like it's too young for them. So there's probably a brief period in there when you don't want to be reading something that's too young for you.
Right.
But then you get over it and you're an adult.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's true. That's true. So how do people, if they want to find either of your books, how do they find them?
Well, they are both available through Amazon, first of all, but they can get them from most retailers.
Oh, okay.
Like if you go to Barnes & Noble and they don't have it, you can ask for it and they can get it for you.
Okay.
But you could also go to their website and get it. So.
Right. Okay. So however you like to buy your books, it's probably a way to do it. Great. And how do people find you, whether they just want to learn more about who you are or maybe check out your classes?
GingerStanton.com.
All right. That's easy.
J-I-N-J-E-R. There are no G's. J-I-N-J-E-R-S-T-A-N-T-O-N.com.
Perfect. All right. And one last question. So I always kind of love to bring in people who are living healthy lifestyle, and we're all trying to figure this out, right? So do you have a healthy meal, healthy snack, healthy take-along snack that you can share?
I have. One of my favorite things is, you know, just a boiled egg and sugar snap peas or, you know, snow peas, you know, just raw.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, for a take-along snack or even a meal.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
It's true. That's pretty easy.
You know, it's protein and green vegetables.
Right.
And a little bit of fat.
Right. Nice. Easy at home. Easy to take along. Easy to prepare ahead of time. Which is
yeah. The only thing you have to do is boil the eggs ahead of time.
Right. Exactly.
But once you've done that, you know, I often boil like a dozen eggs. I don't eat them all. I have a roommate who also will eat them. Because I don't think I can eat that many. But then you have them on hand.
Exactly.
And even if all you grab is the egg, you're in good shape.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. This is fun. It's fun talking to you. And I'm excited about the work you're doing. And I love the fact that you're trying to, and not even trying, but you are making yoga accessible for really for everyone. I mean, not only people who have, like you say, you know, issues, physical issues, but my gosh, just the daily reminder and the...
Oh, so many people think, I'm too old to do yoga.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Right.
There's no such thing.
Right. Yeah.
Really and truly, there's no such thing.
Right.
If you don't want to get down on the floor, tell me that and we'll make accommodation with a chair. Right. I mean, really.
Yeah, yoga really does span so much.
It really does.
There's so much you can do. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Blessings on your beautiful head.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to learn more about Ginger, you can find out about her yoga classes in Minneapolis, both of her books, as well as some meditation information on her website. Her website is gingerstanton.com, and that is Ginger with two J's, no G's, so GINJERSTANTON.com. You will also be able to find direct links to Ginger's books if you go to wellnessrenpodcast.com and click on the Support the Podcast page. You'll be brought to a page with all the books that have been listed in the podcast, and her books will be there. So feel free to check that out. Just a word about that. It's a great way to support the podcast. If you go to that website, click on one of those links, and then anything you purchase that day, whether you purchase the book or a deal of the day or whatever the case may be or not, a small portion of what you purchase, not an extra fee, but a part of your actual purchase price, will go towards all the work that we do to put these shows together for you. And it's, again, not out of your pocket. It is simply part of what you are already paying for your Amazon order. So greatly appreciated to anybody who is willing to take a moment, go to the Wellness Ren podcast page, click on the Support the Podcast, and start your Amazon order that way. We truly and sincerely do appreciate your thinking about it and taking a few extra clicks to get there. So thank you very much. Just a reminder, as an event going on in May 19th, Saturday,
at the Radisson Hotel here in Duluth, we had the Spirit Wellness Connection. And if you look back on the website, Wellness Ren Podcast, you will see episode 23 is an interview, a conversation with the three ladies who were inspired and have created this event. So you get to learn all about it and their intent and how it's different than other events that might look like it in our area. You can visit their website at spiritwellnessconnection.com. It's from 10 to 5 on that Saturday, and tickets are $7. We're going to be doing a live recording of a podcast there that day with multiple practitioners. We'd love you to be there in the audience asking questions and getting a chance to get to know these folks. And then, of course, we'll turn it into a podcast and you can re-listen and share it with your friends. I'm also going to be doing a presentation on food sensitivities, allergies, etc. So a little bit of a shameless plug there. Thank you so much again for listening. Please do share this information. The way that it gets out into the world is by your sharing, and that is the goal. That's why I'm doing this, is to help this information find the people who might benefit. So thank you so much for those who share on your Facebook page or give the information to your friends or whatever the case might be. Your listening, sharing, commenting really does matter. It is how we build this thing so that it is something that I can continue to do forever, which would be delightful and fantastic. There are multiple ways to keep up with what's going on and what podcasts are coming out. You can, of course, go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com page, and all of the podcasts will be listed there. There is a place to sign up for an email. Once a week, we will send you out a quick email that says, here's the topic, here's the link to get there, make it super easy. If you're a Facebook person, you can go to Wellness Renaissance Podcast and join the group, and then you will see them listed each week as they come out. If you are an iTunes person, you can subscribe to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast on iTunes as well. And if you're finding yourself with a moment to put a review on iTunes, that is so incredibly helpful. Thank you very much. We would really, really appreciate that. If you're not familiar with the podcasting world, know that those little things really do make a difference, matter, don't cost you a thing, but really do act as an actual support to the podcast world. Till next time, here is to you finding pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Have a wonderful rest of your day.